It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Sunday is the 15th anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks, including the downing of Flight 93 in Somerset County. What are we teaching our children and teens about 9/11? What should they be learning? We're going to talk about that with Joelle Keats. She is the chair of Social Studies Department in the North Allegheny School District. Welcome, Joelle.
Thank you.
Also in studio is Mary Margaret Kerr, professor of psychology and education at the University of Pittsburgh. She was the director of a research team that created the Flight 93 Memorial Junior Ranger Program. Welcome, Mary Margaret. Good
Thank
to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us by phone is Jewel Parker Rhodes, native Pittsburgher. She's the artistic director of the Virginia G. Piper Center for Creative Writing at Arizona State University, as well as a novelist. Among her books is Towers Falling, a middle grade novel. Welcome, Jewel.
Thank you.
If you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to tweet us at WESA Confluence. According to the Census Bureau, today there are 87 million Americans who were in kindergarten, toddlers, infants, not even born at the time of 9/11. So in general, I'd like all three of you to talk about this. Are we doing enough to help our current children and teens and young adults understand the impact of 9/11? Let's start with you, Jewel.
I don't think so. I think while there are some states that mandate, you know, talking about 9/11 in the curriculum, a lot of states do not. Also, we have a lot of teachers who are teaching who still feel it as a recent trauma. And so, for example, this morning I was at the Brooklyn New School, and they have a set of windows, and they saw the towers being downed. And today when I was talking about my book, the students were ready to hear it, but the teachers still admitted that they were not comfortable teaching it because of the recent trauma. But my point is that if we don't teach the resilience of the American experience and the American spirit, that our children, you know, will be done a disservice. They need to know that it's not that a tragedy happened in just that, but it was how Americans responded, which was actually beautiful and unified in empathy and love and support for our founding principles.
Joelle Keats, I'd like you to follow up on that.
Yeah, I would echo what Jewel said about it being the fear being that teachers are reticent to approach this topic because it's very fresh to them, it's very emotional. But anything that evokes that much emotion clearly is an event of significance that we need to address with our kids, and we do them a disservice if we don't. Pennsylvania does not have a requirement that Jewel referenced to specifically teach about 9/11. It certainly would be part of a U.S. history, a comprehensive U.S. history curriculum. At North Allegheny, we have 2 to 3 days devoted to lessons surrounding that time period in our modern U.S. history class, which is an 11th grade class. One of the issues you run into is many school districts, you know, you're trying to cram all this history in 1 year. The joke when I was young is, you know, are you going to get to Vietnam or not? And so you may not have ever even made it to the Vietnam War during the 1980s. And we certainly don't want the case that people say, are you going to get to 9/11? Are you going to, you know, get to that period of history? And clearly we need to. So I think efforts, such as Mary Margaret's, you know, education efforts, need to keep being promoted across the state so that teachers gain greater comfort. I know my teachers, I observed a teacher just this morning who did a lesson, who was in fifth grade on 9/11, and he spoke of it very movingly, and every kid was very moved there. But because it's difficult, it's not a reason not to do it, and it probably is a reason to do it.
Mary Margaret.
It's very difficult for parents, and that's how we originally got involved. Parents would see the sign on the turnpike and say, we probably should go up there. This is something we want our kids to experience and see. The difficulty was that once parents arrived, they became caught up in their own emotional recollections, and their children, many of whom had no experience of 9/11, were left to kind of figure this out while mom and dad or aunt and uncle or grandparents are pretty distressed.
You three come at helping young people discover the impact of 9/11 from different angles, I would say. The classroom, the formal classroom, the education center, visitor center at the Flight 93 Memorial, and from the novel perspective that I mentioned that Jewel Parker Rhodes wrote. Joelle, I'd like to ask, what is North Allegheny's approach? Now, you talked about a teacher teaching today. Right. But what is the approach? You just focus it on 11th and 12th graders? You start a little earlier or what?
Again, it's because it's not a formal mandate, we begin kind of with the standards that the state has and the understanding that it's an important event, but that every kid, you know, it needs to be age appropriate for their level of development and for their level of understanding. And, you know, a lot of fear surrounds, you know, forgetting 9/11 or that we need to remember it. And I look at it from an educational perspective as we do need to teach about it and the kids need to learn about it. And that is in sort of a spiraling way. So in the younger grades, again, it's just starting the conversation. And again, I know these are conversations that parents have difficulty having with their kids. So our role at that age is to pretty much let the kids be our leaders in terms of the questions that they have about it. And again, to Mary Margaret's point about the response that they see in their parents when they ask them about it. So to get those conversations started. And then as we, you know, spiral up through the curriculum, you get a little bit deeper into the specifics of the events. And I do think, and I want to sort of reiterate the point about the resilience of everyone on that day and afterwards is incredibly empowering for students to hear.
Agreed.
So the lesson that I saw this morning, you know, 30 of the 45 minutes was how and what in the footage and the audio, and it was incredibly moving. But the last 15 minutes were about everyday Americans' responses, you know, the boats that flooded into the harbor, you know, to evacuate 500,000 people in a single day. So, you know, those stories are important for kids to know that they are empowered as citizens, you know, as you know, sort of you want to evoke this idea of a patriotism for your country. I mean, this was the finest moment in some sense, as well as the most tragic in recent memory.
Your students.
Absolutely. And may I add, my book is actually designed for teachers and parents also to construct a way to talk about 9/11, as well as for students to learn about it. In fiction, the students go through the journey of the young hero and heroine as they discover more and more about 9/11, but it's set in a classroom. And the school that I was inspired to write the book on about was, you know, the Brooklyn New School. And when I went to visit them, they were teaching the Holocaust because that was far history, but they couldn't find the means within themselves just yet to teach about 9/11. But when they approached the Holocaust, they started with the concrete. They started with, you know, a suitcase and what would you take if you had to leave immediately. So in my novel, we start with the concept of what is home. Draw a picture of your home. And home then is really not the shelter, but the relationships of the people inside it. And then from there, through music, art, the science teacher, history, we start building on that network that all of us are connected in some way or another by the city we live in, our friends and family, by the state we live in, by our country. So we were all individual Americans, and standing together, empowered as one, is what gives our country its greatest strength.
Mary Margaret, you led the team that developed the materials for the Young Ranger program. How did you get this information, and then what was the essence of the message that you wanted to deliver to the young visitors to the Flight 93 Memorial, and I guess to their parents as well?
Right. Well, the memorial had already selected three what we call interpretive themes: honoring the heroes, a place of reflection, and a call to action. So the challenge to our team, which really was led by a grad student, Carrie Ift, and an illustrator, Marianne McMullen, the challenge to us was to figure out how do you take those themes and make that relevant and meaningful for children. So we figured, well, we better go look at the words of children. Fortunately, the park has kept all of the letters and artwork and tributes and visitor comments, the little 5x8 cards that people fill out. They have a huge archive collection. So we studied those very intensely to develop the ideas, the themes, the words, the images that children would relate best to. And they're not the same as the ideas and reactions of adults.
I'd like all three of you to tackle this one, because And I'm going to start with this, Jewel. You mentioned in the book your young main character wonders why her pop gets angry when the towers are mentioned. About the importance of not only what our young people are learning, but how maybe they can engage their parents in a conversation about this topic. We'll start with you, Jewel.
Yes. Well, Deja doesn't know that her family's poverty and homelessness is connected to the fact that her father is a 9/11 survivor. His lungs are damaged, and he also has an anxiety disorder. Ben, another major character, his father has re-upped for the military like 5 times and now suffers from post-traumatic stress. So in the kids, what they discover is that everything that happens in the past, every bit of history, is still relevant, alive, and personal to us today. And my favorite part in the story is when Deja, in understanding about 9/11, is able to ask her father, you know, what happened? Tell me about you, that he begins the healing process. So it's almost as though I think the children can lead us to a healing and lead us to a better place in that moment of sharing information and sharing stories. So it actually strengthens and empowers the family. But I also wanted to say that I started in fifth grade, because if you think a grader 8 years can serve our country, in 8 years they'll be voting for president. In 8 years, you know, they'll be going off to college. All these transformations are going to happen, and they need to know that the world that they live in and the things that they know about, the Iraq War, Afghanistan War, terrorism, all of those things are really post 9/11. So they need that history in order to be the citizens that will lead us tomorrow.
Reporter Mark Newbar, who appeared earlier in the program, went back to Shanksville for the 5th anniversary. That was 10 years ago. And he talked with students at Shanksville High School about their reflections, their remembrances, and how it impacted them.
I believe it, but it's not like I quite understand like it's there. I know it's there, but I don't think I want to believe it's there.
Immediately after, the elementary kids were sent a lot of teddy bears and cards.
We're not known as the little town of Shanksville now. We're town of Shanksville with a big star on the map, so it's different now.
Mary Margaret, I'm going to start with you on this. Do children grasp the events differently than adults? And if so, how do you address that in the Visitor Education Center through the Junior Ranger program that you put together and in helping maybe get that connection between the children and their parents?
Sure. One of the things that we first noticed is that children don't have the anger and the rage. Adults often do. The other thing that's different is that children simply explore differently. So children need things to do when they go to a site. One of the activities that we created was an activity where children touch, because we observed that all the young visitors were touching all the different surfaces. So we now invite them to touch the surfaces, find the picture in the booklet that's like a
Does that make it feel more
granite.
Real or what?
Well... Surprisingly, there's no research on children at what we call dark sites. So that's one thing our team was surprised to learn and we're trying to address. But children do explore through play. And so we invite children to touch, to make their own little tributes and leave them, to draw, and so forth.
Yeah, I think the common theme we're seeing here is that to really connect with kids and to be a good teacher, a good parent, I mean, you have to make it relevant to them. And I think it's a really unique opportunity with 9/11 in that the teachers who lived through it, it is fresh in their mind. They can tell their story. And the kids will relate to the teachers saying, here's where I was. I know where I was. And any adult would remember. I was in room 354 of North Allegheny Senior High School. And I tell them the story of how it unfolded and how when one of my students said, ooh, they've hit the Pentagon, I'm the adult, I'm the teacher, I know it all. I said, no, that can't be possible. So we lived that piece of history together, and now I tell that story to what is now almost another generation removed. But they can imagine, because they're still sitting in room 354 and I'm still standing in front of them, they can imagine what that's like. And then the footage that you may watch with older kids especially, you know, a lot of it is cell phone footage. That's something they understand, that they relate directly to. And so I think, you know, oral histories and then allowing kids, I think this follows with what was previously said, that we allow kids to do different kind of project as kind of a culminating effort. So a piece of art or a poem or an oral history with their parents, you know, kind of to bring it together for them. But you don't have to work hard to make this relevant to them. And it is important, you know, drawing those connections. History occurs chronologically, but it's really best understood conceptually. And so, you know, we're kind of way past, you know, we memorize the Civil War dates and we memorize presidents in order, and we want kids to make these connections and think about how much the world has changed since then and why it matters so much that we understand and yes and remember and honor.
Because, Jewel Parker Rhodes, because children do grasp things differently, was it important? Because you already sort of had a built-in audience from earlier novels for young people that you had written. So how important was this issue for you to address for them?
This issue was very personal for me because I had my trauma to work through. But I felt that was my role as an artist, to make an experience for students to understand more about our country and their obligations as citizens. But also it really angered me that right now students can pick up a computer or iPhone and they can see the footage of the towers falling or you know, what happened at the Pentagon in Pittsburgh. You know, they can see it. So all they see is the horribleness. All they see is, you know, we are attacked, and they didn't see the beautiful. So I wrote the beautiful, and as was mentioned earlier in my story, the kids do science projects, you know, building foundations for skyscrapers. They study historical video of how Governor Rockefeller had the towers built, that they sing in music class, you know, Woody Guthrie's "This Land Is, You Know, Your Land, This Land Is My Land," that I take a cross-curricular approach for them to learn about this history. I think it also connects to the fact that I feel that civics lessons in citizenship is being taught less often in schools today than when I grew up. And so I also felt a kind of empowering moment of wanting to say, this is part of my civics lesson for all of us to share.
Jewel Parker Rhodes is Artistic Director of the Virginia G. Piper Center for Creative Writing at Arizona State University and is author of Towers Falling. Mary Margaret Kerr is Professor of Psychology and Education at the University of Pittsburgh, and she directed the research team that created the Flight 93 Memorial Junior Ranger Program. And Joel Keats is the Chair of the Social Studies Department in the North Allegheny School District. Folks, thank you all for being here today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having us.
While the U.S. jobless rate remains below 5%, Pennsylvania's and Pittsburgh's rates continue well above that mark. What could this mean for the election? That's next on The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA.